All right, fantastic. So I just wanted to get a little bit about your background. I know you have a lot of experience working with public transportation with Go Raleigh and mm-hmm. Raleigh. Have there been any sort of takeaways from your career so far that have helped you, you know, learn how to run a public transportation system? You know, any key highlights you can think of?
Very big multi-part question. Yes, I'm sure you already know I do come from Go Raleigh. I was there for over 21 years. I actually started out in the finance department. So I started out in a data entry position or a data cleanup position, so working with ridership and revenue. So worked my way up through finance and transferred over to operations for a short term, and then finally over to AGM, and then AGM for the for GM for the past 5 years. Coming through finance, spending so much time there, I saw all the back end, where the kind of the end user of the data, and not really knowing what generates the data or how it got to where it was. I was interested in, that's kind of what the catalyst for me going over to operations and learning that side. So also having that background, I was able to kind of tie all the data that I already knew to the real world, what was actually happening out there. So if I knew there was high ridership on a certain route, to me it was just a number on a spreadsheet, but then you get over to operations, you already know that this is your highest, most productive route, so you need to dedicate resources to that. So that's kind of my background. I'm a little bit of a unicorn in transit, having both of those operations and finance. So I was able to manage the operation in a much better way, having come through both of those departments. The thing that brought me here was that I had been in the general manager position over in Raleigh for 5 years, and pretty much the only escalation that I could have in terms of career would have been to go to a more regional or national level with the contractor, who I worked for was for TransDev. So I didn't actually work for the city of Raleigh. I worked for a private contractor that operates transit. So not being really keen on doing that much travel or being in that type of position, and I wanted to stay local to North Carolina. When this position came up, it was something that I was very interested in. I am I love a challenge, and I'm sort of a problem solver. I like, you know, I was fully aware of the challenges that WAVE had over the past couple of years as far as their budget went, and seeing that that's something I have a little bit of an expertise in, I was hoping that I could, you know, at least come down here and contribute some of my knowledge to the system. There has been a ton of a learning curve here. I've been here 6.5 weeks now, and I have been digesting information at an extremely rapid pace. I've been pretty much a four-year degree in a month and a half, so yeah. I've been trying to learn the system, learn the staff, learn the board members, the community, the needs, the demographic, you know, the intricacies of Wilmington in and of itself, where the need for public transportation is and where it isn't, kind of where to concentrate our resources. We have a lot of projects going on, so we're trying to, you know, the network redesign was voted on before I even got here by the board to implement coming up this summer. So I came in after that had already been voted on, so I wasn't a part of the process. So now I have to learn not only what the system is, but what it's going to be. So, and you know, are there any changes that I need to participate in as far as having any expertise as far as from my transit background? Are these the best changes and how to implement them? And if not, you know, what other options do we have, because we do have a limited budget. So just trying to figure out to take advantage of everything that we have in the limited parameters that we have. I also had a personal interest in being here. I've always been a person of nature and water, and I have always been somebody to come to the beach 2, 3, 4 times a month in the summertime. I grew up, my family coming to the beach all the time, so that didn't hurt the decision making. When the opportunity came up, it was kind of twofold. So it satisfied my a career change, and it also, you know, it, like I said, it kind of tipped the scale. Well, it's at the beach too, so yeah, that's kind of a great thing. I'd love to take advantage of that.
The work and the personal benefits too.
Absolutely. So kind of a holistic one and done kind of thing. So I was really excited to come on board here. I think I may have been somewhat naive in knowing how many different levels of things, the challenges and the different projects that were ongoing. Naive might not be the right word, but not as well informed. So, and it's not bad. There's nothing bad about the system. The system is good. The staff is amazing. There's really good potential here. It's just making it happen and having the resources to make it happen.
Yeah, and you know, coming in after you know, TransPro's consultation work and whatnot, has that been limiting for you? You know, as far as your vision for, you know, what the public transportation can be, and how it can work.
It has been somewhat limiting. TransPro, and again, I'm not speaking negatively of them, but they're a consultant. They came in, mm-hmm. they performed a job, they gave a packet, and they walked away. So they don't actually have to implement anything. They don't have to plan it. They still, you know, the budget is a projection. It's a desktop decision. These are the numbers they came up with based on, you know, a formula. So it's still not real life. Putting it into action is a completely different game. So it's been limiting in that I didn't have an opportunity to be a part of the decision making. And it was almost impossible because I don't know the community and I don't know where the needs are the greatest and where we need to dedicate those resources. On the flip side, it's been kind of a blessing because the decision needed to be made because of the budget. There had to be some budget cuts or some different sources of revenue, which at this time don't exist. So the charge was to decrease the number of hours that we're performing in order to get the budget where it needs to be. So at least that's decisions I don't have to make. Those are decisions that have already been made. So they came in, they did their studies, you know, they analyzed ridership and demographic and need, and I think they did the best that they could to put the service where the highest need is and exists, and kind of, you know, what I spoke on earlier about the sprawl, they kind of condensed everything down to the city center where the most ridership exists. And, you know, once we can establish that good baseline system, then we can plan to grow from there in the future.
Yeah, you know, in your position right now, I know you've only been here a month.
Yeah.
But as for right now, what are your top priorities?
Oh, wow. We have, it's like we have all these spinning plates and all of them are here. Like everything's a top priority right now. We have the adoption of the plan also includes the implementation of microtransit, which is completely new to this area and new to a lot of transit systems. Honestly, I don't have experience with microtransit, so I need to learn, like I said earlier, I need to learn the system as it is and where it's going to be in 6 months, the changes, or 7 months, the changes that are going to occur and how it impacts the community. But also, we're also implementing this new mode of transportation that's never been done here before. So now I have to learn, you know, how does it work? What are the benefits? What are the drawbacks? How much is it going to cost? Making sure we're staying within budget for that new system. Is it going to be turnkey? Are we going to use our own resources? There's just a ton of different things that go with that. So we need to develop that RFP, get it drafted, and get it published so we can get some bids on it. We're going to have to choose a vendor and then implement it. And, you know, that goes hand in hand with the network redesign. We have to do the planning for it. We have to do the public outreach and talk to the community and let them know what's happening. And we still have to do the planning for the actual route structure you know, map printing, there's a million different things that go along with that. So, you know, the network redesign, the system network redesign, of course, is our number one priority. But there's so many different levels to that. Are we going to, you know, keep the route as TransPro designed them, or are we going to, you know, shift it up half a mile so that we can capture another community? How is that going to affect, you know, is it going to go from a 27-minute service to a 32-minute service? There's just so many different levels. So while the system network redesign is our top priority, there are so many different facets to it that we have to consider. It kind of becomes this multifaceted thing that it's just, you know, just keep peeling away at the layers, and it's just another thing that we have to concentrate on. Our transit provider, our current contractor, First Transit, their contract expires June 30, so we have to develop an RFP and put that out as well so we can implement a new contract for our transit provider for that. So that's something that has to happen really short term. The trolley, that's been discussion to reduce by, I think, over 70% in service hours. It's been talked about going to a seasonal trolley. So that's kind of been a high priority of mine. You know, what are we going to do with it? Do we want to make it seasonal, or do we just want to reduce hours throughout the year and keep it more consistent and keep it year-long versus seasonal so that people kind of don't abandon it? We want to make sure that we keep that interest in the trolley. And then also making, I guess another big priority of mine is reaching out to everybody in the community and make sure that I have those one-on-ones with people, you know, convention center personnel, people at Carolina Beach, all the different people that are going to be affected or could be affected, and then potential partnerships that we haven't developed yet. Some of the colleges or some of the other facilities or governments that we don't have partnerships now, or different areas that we could serve, you know, apartments, veterans affairs, the hospitals, anything out there. So just trying to be out there and build relationships and get to know everybody in the community. And it's such a short amount of time to get so much accomplished. So it's like I'm trying to touch everything and do everything, and I have like 6 months to get it done. So yeah. Like I said, it's like almost everything has an equal priority. So it's hard to drill it down to just three, honestly. But, you know, getting out in the community and meeting people and talking to all the people that are going to be affected and establishing new relationships, and reestablishing any that, you know, Brunswick County, we used to have that route and it doesn't exist anymore. Maybe reaching back out to them and seeing if that's something we can consider maybe putting on back in the future, so we have that westernly transportation that gets the attention that it needs, the micro transit that is part of the network redesign, and then also the trolley, which is part of the network redesign, which was actually discussed in discontinuing, and then they rediscussed it and decided to, well, quasi decided to make it a more seasonal. So just figuring out kind of where everything fits in, and again, maintaining the budget is probably the first priority. So yeah, we have to stay under budget to be sustainable.
Absolutely. And, you know, obviously, the Go Raleigh is obviously a different system, and there are different things to every public transportation system. But from your experience, what sort of routes for funding have worked, you know, in your career, and what have you seen that's been successful? And is there anything you've thought of that could, you know, be beneficial here and really help, you know, improve that budget and improve that funding structure?
Sure. My firsthand experience over at Go Raleigh is you put the service where the service is needed. So you have, at Raleigh, we had four very high performing routes. So we had a county referendum, so we got a half cent sales tax a few years ago. So it just dumped more money into our existing budget. So instead of, they talked about more coverage or more service. And they kind of did a little bit of both. It was a little bit of half and half. But I've learned from my experience that the more services you add, the more that it's used. Initially, there's a little bit of a lull because people aren't exposed to it, they don't know about it, etc. But if you have a super high-performing route and you just keep putting buses out there, they'll just keep getting on them. So you want to put the service where it's most needed because people are going to utilize it. And as soon as they figure out that the frequencies are better, that it's more convenient to them, you know, I can get on this bus every 15 minutes. It kind of gives them the confidence in the transportation system that they can go out there any time of day and there's going to be a bus there in 5, 10, 15 minutes, then they're more likely to use it. So just dumping service, increase in headways, increase in service, where the people already exist, where they're already using the service. Of course, naturally, everybody wants to always attract the choice rider, which can be very difficult, especially in a time like now where there's pandemics, health crisis, there's a natural fear being in public, riding public transportation. That's something that we probably need to put on the back burner to attract the choice rider, because with our limited funding and our budget, we need to concentrate on facilitating transportation for the people that don't have another choice or don't have any other mode of transportation. We want to make sure that every ounce of resources that we have is directed to making sure that our citizens of the city that don't have other options are getting where they need to go.
I know that with TransPro's work, I would say they kind of did something similar in the sense of, you know, focusing more on the city.
That's
and
true.
Kind of getting rid of or introducing this ride-sharing option for that outlying areas. Mm-hmm. So is that a decision you would say is a good call then for, you know, what you're talking about, focusing on the rider who has to take the bus, not necessarily the choice rider?
I don't want to wholesale commit to, yes, it was a fantastic decision, because I haven't had an opportunity to look at every single leg that was eliminated as part of the plan. Mm-hmm. As a, you know, an overarching, just looking at it from a high level point of view, yeah, it's exactly what I would have done. I would have shrunk down the service area to, you know, the people that are transit dependent and eliminated the least productive routes. And they still were able to facilitate transportation, the on-demand transportation or the micro transit for those north and south areas that are being eliminated. So it does provide a solution. I'm not sure if it's going to be a right fit solution long term, but I think it'll get us through the next few years until we can get where we need to be.
And then once, you know, the wave is where it needs to be, would that then be the time to look at, you know, reinstating those more choice routes or, you know, the more regional routes?
Okay. Yes, I think, and it depends on what's happening too, because if you have half-hour frequencies on your highly productive routes, if you have, you know, people falling out the doors, you're going to go to those first before you start reaching out to your choice riders or trying to re-implement those routes. I still think that you're always going to want to dedicate the resources to where the need is highest. So, but yes, I think once we establish the system and get it where it needs to be, and we have that really good baseline and we're performing under budget, I'm already thinking into the future on growth and expansion and, you know, where else can we go and how can we accommodate and how can we get it done? How can we establish the funding that we need to get us where we need to be?
What unique challenges does WAVE kind of pose? I know it's an interesting setup between the county and the city. I know that isn't exactly common. And there are other aspects of it, whether it's, you know, the micro transit or whatnot.
Mm-hmm. I think I thought about the challenges that WAVE had. I already knew about their structure because I had researched it before even entertaining the job. It is very unique, the structure as it stands, the agreement between the city and the county. Typically, it's a city-funded, the transit system. Historically, you know, pretty much everywhere that I have known or worked with or been at or had exposure to, it's a city funded service. So it's just like your trash service, your fire service, everything else, and then, you know, if you libraries, anything, it's is dedicated funding for that source. So it's not anything you have to come in and wonder, are you going to make it a year? Are you going to make it 2 years? You know, what's your survivability? That's definitely unique. Coming from Go Raleigh, we had almost 3.5 times the budget that we have here. You know, 2 years ago, we 3 years ago, 4 years ago, when we got this huge windfall of money from Wake County, we were expected to spend it very quickly because taxpayers want to see their revenue, you know, their funds being used, put to work. So we were actually in a small period of time, we had more money and we knew what to do with. So I'm not faced with that here. That's completely different. Mm-hmm. But I don't think I came in naive to the point where it's not something that we can tackle or something we can accomplish. And I know, you know, it's kind of, it's difficult, especially, you know, I came in and part of my interview process was to do a presentation. And I don't think I was fully informed on what their position was. And I came in and did my presentation, and my presentation was how to market and communicate route cuts, specifically. And I went through my entire spiel, and then I sat down and I said, look, I don't know if this thing is about to happen, but I want to give you my honest input. This is the last thing you want to do. This is the worst thing you can do. You know, it erodes faith from your community. People rent apartments, buy houses, whatever, knowing that there's a bus line that goes by there. They get jobs on a bus line because that's how people make decisions for their life, for, you know, how they live, how they provide for their families. So to take away transit is huge. This is not, you know, this is not just saving a budget. It's impacting the community. It's impacting people at a huge level. I can't express how important transit is to somebody that has never had to take a bus or doesn't need to take a bus. It's hard to communicate that or articulate that to different people. So I wanted to make sure that I expressed that after my interview, because doing my whole presentation, I was like, oh God, I hope they're not listening to this. I don't want to sell something. I don't want them paying attention to this. I'm not a fan of cutting service, but it's something that you know that you have to do. Like, we have to get to a place, or else we have to survive, we have to sustain. So we need to be able to be here long term. So, you know, it's just something that we have to deal with. So after accepting that and moving on, you have to figure out, okay, well, this is our baseline. How do we figure out how to move forward from here? It's just so difficult, but it goes against your natural instinct is, I guess, the best way to say it. You know, you want to, I'm here because I love transit and I love being a part of community and doing something that is so important and impactful. So to come in and say, you know, you have to reduce service by X percent and cut these routes, it's like, ugh, you know, I don't want to do this, but you understand the business part side of it, but you also want to, you appreciate the human part of it too.
As far as, you know, we talked about it a little bit, but there definitely has been, I think, this sort of tension between New Hanover County and the city of Wilmington, between members on the board and just council members versus county commissioners in terms of, you know, WAVES funding and TransPro's ideas. And, you know, I know that I report on city council, so mm-hmm. I hear all the comments they make about, mm-hmm. You know, I know a lot of their critique with the TransPro presentation was a lack of public input, mm-hmm. allegedly, and the ride sharing program, mm-hmm. and, you know, how that would look to the community. So do you have any ideas about how to alleviate that tension and kind of make this more of a system where, you know, it's not two parties at odds with one another and it's kind of just a cohesive whole that works?
Yeah, that is difficult because, yeah, I mean, it is, and I don't want to speak negatively about anybody. I can understand some some hesitation from the county, not because I don't think they dislike transit or don't support transit, but traditionally it's not, transit's not a county function. So I can understand that. However, you know, in speaking with both, I've been in the board meetings, I've also had private meetings with both city and county representatives. So I know both of them support transit. Maybe they disagree on some of the fine details or how it should be funded, but I think everybody agrees on that it has a place here, and you know, we want it to be successful. Just how much responsibility each party wants to have, I think, is probably the thing that needs to be resolved, and I completely understand that. So I think with any dedicated funding source, I think we'll resolve that problem going forward, you know, whether if it is the stuff that's been discussed at city council, such as the car fee or the sales tax, any of those, I think will kind of resolve any of the perceived, whether they're perceived or real, the can, you know, the issues that lie between the city and the county on what, you know, what do we do with transit.
Yeah. So from just, you know, where you're at right now, do you think an entirely city funded transportation system here is feasible? Maybe not, obviously there are budget issues, but mm-hmm. do you think that is, you know, a possible vision or an idea?
I can't speak for the city, so I want to be careful on delving into that. But like I've said, traditionally it is a city-funded service. Mm-hmm. Like I said, though, my experience with Go Raleigh, we had a fully city-funded service. It came from the general fund. You know, most of it, I don't want to misspeak, most of the money does come from federal. 80% of it typically comes from federal operating. So, and then the city just, you know, there's 10-10. But then we had the Wake County referendum because there was an interest in expanding transit, making it healthier, making it more frequent, making it more of an urban field transit, something similar to a larger city. We were behind a little bit in Raleigh too, and after we got that referendum, we were able to increase frequencies. The number one complaint you're going to get on any smaller or medium system is it doesn't come frequently enough. Like, that is the number one complaint. Or if the bus is not there when you need it to be there, you're not going to take the bus. So just keeping in mind that we're going to reduce service, we're also going to be, we're going to be abandoning the passengers in some capacity, because some people are going to have to find alternative ways to work if they need to get to work at 7 and the bus doesn't run for another hour. They're going to have to figure something else out or just get there, you know, an hour early and sit around. There's going to be some situations that create issues for some of our passengers. We're hoping not. I've seen from, you know, the reports here that Wilmington is really transit resilient, I guess is a good word for it. They've been really adaptable in all the changes that have happened, any route changes, any additions, cuts, whatever, service expansions, deletions, you know, the ridership is pretty strong regardless of what happens, so that's good. I'm just hopeful it stays that way, and hopefully we, you know, one of the biggest things is building some trust in the community and letting them know, you know, this is our core transit. We're keeping it like this. It's not going to keep changing all the time. We want to be sustainable, like I keep saying. That's just so important, is to make sure that we have our core service and we expand from there. We just don't keep deleting and changing stuff, so people know that that bus stop that's been there 20 years is not going to go away in 6 months because there's a budget problem at WAVE. We just need to figure out how to fix that.
Yeah, so it seems like, you know, a lot of your focus is on just kind of gaining that trust with the community. Mm-hmm. The public forum last week, was that your idea about the senior riders and those with disabilities?
No, that had already been in place. That's something that happens every few years.
Oh, is it?
Mm-hmm. that had been. I was glad to be a part of it, though. I was so happy that that was something that was occurring after I got here. So, yeah, just to be able, and unfortunately, the platform is just not conducive to get the as much outreach as you want to. Typically, if you host in a live environment and you open the doors, you have a lot more people show up. So, you know, there's some technology can be prohibitive for some people. So we didn't get the showing that we liked, but we got a lot of feedback that was really good. So, you know, the 65 and older population represents 10% of our ridership. So that's a huge amount of ridership that we want to make sure that we're accommodating. You know, and then disabled persons, we want to make sure that we're accommodating those as well. So that makes up a huge percentage of our riders, is people that don't have an alternative, some people that may not have driver's license, some people that can't physically operate a vehicle or have restrictions on their license, whatever. So like I said, it's trans. I just cannot express enough how important it is for those people to be able to, their independence is based on having accessibility to transit.
What were some of the key takeaways you think there were from the feedback you received at that forum?
I think most of the information, the feedback was pretty positive. And the coordinated plan is pretty much, it's almost a final product as it was presented. It was just, you know, receiving feedback. How can we help the community? I think there were some specific interest in certain locations. You know, is there any way you can serve this apartment complex, or is there any way, you know, you can work with a department to get a crosswalk here to make it a safer location? So very, very specific geographic areas that maybe we need to pay some attention to or get some focus on and provide transit to. A lot of those things, you know, and it could be our lack of educating people or just people not knowing that, you know, you can go fill out a form online and request a stop, and we can put up a stop to accommodate those people that, you know, there's not a bus coming here, why not? You can just go fill out a form and we can go evaluate the area, see what the density is, kind of figure out if there's going to be potential ridership there, and put up a stop and serve that area if it's something where already we have a bus going by there. So it's an easy fix.
Oh, that's interesting. I didn't know people could just go online and request that. Are there other things they can request, whether it's, I don't know, I'm imagining that a specific stop would be the most common type of request, but are there other forms or anything like that?
I think that's probably the biggest one.
Yeah.
And, you know, of course there has to be justification for putting a stop there. You can't have one, you know, every 10 feet or whatever, but, you know, if there's an area that's the absent of a stop for a certain distance, then we certain, and, you know, there's an apartment complex or some multiple family housing in the area, we're going to try to accommodate, as long as it's a safe location for our operators to pull over, we'll try to accommodate as long as it's on a route. So yeah, that's something we can easily address for the community, for anybody that's interested in.
Yeah, that's really interesting. Awesome. So as far as, you know, your future vision for this transportation system goes, I know there's been a lot of like major and minor tweaks to the system as it currently is. Do you see this as something that maybe needs to be like transformed entirely, like whether it's, you know, the branding or, you know, who it serves or location? I don't know, I'm not a transportation expert, so whatever. But do you see it as something that needs to be, you know, reconfigured entirely, or do you see this as something that changes can be made over a long period of time that eventually get it to what it is now, but maybe just more improved?
I guess we have to establish our baseline, which is implementing this the network redesign. And I think at that point, we'll have, you know, we have some technology improvements. You know, full disclosure, our technology is a little, it's either void or antiquated. So we do need to make some improvements, and that's just from lack of funding. So it's nothing, there's no slant on the agency. And once we have that information, it'll help us facilitate with planning. So we need APCs, which are, you know, automatic people counters. It counts every time somebody gets on the bus and off the bus. And we have farebox data, which is, you know, people swipe or pay or whatever. That counts the people that get on the bus. But the APCs is stop level. So once you have APC information, you can pull up a map and see, you know, hot spots where people are getting on or off, and then you know their origination and destination, then that's where you need to put the service, or that's where you need to concentrate the service. That's something we're missing now. We know how many people are riding a certain route, and we can tell you how many people are getting on at a specific location if we drill down far enough, but having that information at our fingertips makes such a huge difference. So establishing our baseline, getting some of our technology layers on top of that to see, you know, where are we performing the best, where are we underperforming, where do we need to be. So getting some of that demographic data and kind of overlaying that on our route map. Do we have new developments going in? Do we have, you know, the Salvation Army is moving. Is that something we need to accommodate in the future, and what would that look like? Do we have any deserts in the city that we've never accommodated that we need to give some attention to, as far as, you know, low income or no income or 65 and older, any type of development or resources that we need to provide transportation for. So just making sure that we're reaching everybody that we can. So that's going to be our first and second steps, is establishing those. And then, of course, in the future, you want to start attracting your choice rider, whether that be through outreach in elementary schools. You want, this is how you ride transit, giving them that freedom and independence. Teaching youth how to ride transit is something we did a lot at Go Raleigh and Raleigh. So making sure that people know that, you know, there is a ton of infrastructure in Wilmington. Oh my God, there's cars everywhere. It is crazy. I've never seen so much asphalt in one city. But yeah. Encouraging people, you know, you can read a book when you ride the bus if you want to. You can relax. It's not... I think transit has a negative connotation. People typically, I'm not taking the bus, or they think there's something negative with it. But there's cities all over the world where people ride public transit, and it's not a negative thing. You can opt to take transit once a week. You know, save the environment. You want to contribute to air pollution, air quality, whatever. There's just so many different options for people to take, and I think there is. It's going to be on us to educate people and invite them, because I know one of the prohibitive factors is just not knowing and being intimidated by that. You know, I don't ride the bus. I don't know how to ride the bus. And then some people, just because they don't use it, they don't even try, or they don't have an interest in using it. So hoping to get us to that point where it is something that people think about, you know, maybe I can take the bus. There's residential being built up in downtown Wilmington, similar to everywhere else. So, you know, if you have an office across town, why wouldn't you just walk out your door and take the bus to where you need to go, and walk a couple of blocks if you have to. I rode the bus. I lived in downtown Raleigh and rode the bus. Also had a car, so when it got extremely cold, I didn't. So I appreciate when somebody has to stand outside and it's 20 degrees and they're waiting on a bus. I certainly appreciate that.
At least it's so. North Carolina. I'm from up right. North, so I'm like, winter's here. Wow.
They're brutal to me. I'm cold natured. I'm freezing right now. I haven't had my heater on because you're here. So, but of course, I wanted to get to that place where transit is not, you know, just for people that need it, that everybody has exposure to it, they know about it, they know how to ride the bus, they know it's there. Like, you can go ask some people and they're like, "John, I didn't even know we had a bus system." How do you not? There's buses everywhere. But it's true. It even happened in Raleigh, you know. So it's just one of those things. If you don't need it, you don't know about it. So, you know, I don't go to a library anymore. I can't tell you where a library is locally, So, but that doesn't mean I don't think it's valuable to the community. Mm-hmm. So, it just kind of changing people's perspectives on transit and hopefully getting to a place where people know just because it's not something that you need, that the community needs it and appreciates it and wants it to be, you know, here long term and just appreciates how valuable it is.
Yeah, this is kind of just, this isn't like super important, but I was doing some Googling around and I saw that Go Rally had had a federal grant in 2019 where for electric vehicles, mm-hmm. like electric buses. Is that something you could, obviously there are things to look at right now and work on those, but in the future, is that something you would think about trying to implement here?
Sure. I got all the way to the finish line with that project and had to walk away from it. So I got all the way, because I think they're expecting delivery here in the next month or two.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so I worked on the entire project from the beginning to the end. Just like any alternative use vehicle, CNG requires a station. So you have to have, they have CNG, which is fabulous. And it saves a ton of money. It's great for the environment. I don't know if anybody, you know, is aware of that. CNG here does so much for Wilmington and for the authority in saving money and for the citizens. Electric vehicles, same thing. You need infrastructure. So you have to have charging stations. So the initial expense is exorbitant. So unless you have some grant to fund it, which we were able to take advantage of there, then it it can be a task. So I'd love to have electric vehicles. They're also pretty expensive. I think the ones we got were above $900,000 each.
Wow.
So a typical transit bus will run you $700, but an electric vehicle is much, much higher. So, of course, you don't have the gas expense, the fuel expense then either. So that's something you don't have to worry about. And the upkeep is much cheaper. You're not spending as much on the mechanics of it. So it does, you know, over time there's a cost savings, but the capital cost is a lot, the upfront cost. I'd love to have electric vehicles here, and I'm sure, you know, I don't have my water bottles. Proterra, the vendor that sold them to me, they're just waiting in the wings for me to say, hey, we need some electric vehicles. But I think they'd love it too. But Wave is really good in the capital they have. They have, you know, the average age of their fleet is really good. They have really good facilities. You know, like I said, there's a lot of good things here. It's like we have everything to be able to put out an amazing service, except for the funding. That's the only, which is the most critical thing, obviously, but absent of that, there's nothing we can't do, because we have, you know, we have operations and maintenance facility, which is fairly new. We have two other stations, Paget and Forden. So we have the facilities, and we have a lot of vehicles in the way of capital to support any type of network we want to put out. We just need that funding to make it happen. So electric vehicles, I'd love to have them. I love anything that, you know, is sustainable and is for the environment,
and it's also just cool.
They're also just really cool, and they make almost no noise. So they're very, very cool.
Yeah.
I actually went to the plant when they were building them, and I was as clean as any medical facility you've ever been in.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
So, yeah, they're very cool, though. But I was glad to have been able to work on the project.
Yeah, it's sad you don't get to kind of see the finished product.
I know. I'm going to have to – I still text the engineers. I'm going to have to tell them to send me pictures before they come off the line.
Well, those are all my main questions. Is there anything else you wanted to mention or bring up that we didn't talk about?
I have this – you know, I'm in this kind of special position. I don't want to speak negatively about anybody. You know, everybody's kind of holding the purse strings, and, you know, whether the county decides to implement dedicated funding or the city or a combination of both, it's going to make all the difference to everything. And it's just, you know, I just want everything so badly to work out in the positive. And, you know, if we're just working with the budget we have for the next forever, that's fine too. We'll figure out how to pivot and adapt, and we'll be successful. But I think there's so much more promise here, and I'm hoping that we get to that point at some point, and I have confidence that we will. It's just, it's not an easy task. So, and you're asking people to contribute more to a system in a supposedly a down economy, but the housing market seems to be doing okay.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my gosh. Every other article is like record-setting
right.
housing sales.
So
oh,
it's like record-setting unemployment, record-setting housing sales. I don't know how that settles, but... there was one question you asked me that I didn't tie out. The challenges here at Wave Transit. There is the most shoestring staff I have ever seen at a transit authority, honest to goodness. I have never, how they operate this entire system with as few members of staff is astounding, honestly. We probably easily had, even on scale, 5 times the staff. So maybe 3 times the budget, easily 5 to 7 times the number of staff. So there's a very few amount of people getting a lot of stuff done here. So that is a huge challenge, and you don't want to, we don't even have a planning department. So we're implementing a complete network redesign. So we're recreating our entire route system. We have 0 planning software. We have 0 planners. So we have to accomplish this amongst ourselves with paper and pencil. And, you know, the brain trust of, you know, just a few people trying to make this happen.
Wow.
So it's going to be, it does consume resources where otherwise you would have, you know, hey, go plug it in the software and you spit it out in an hour, and we're going to be here for a while trying to figure this out and make it happen. So there's some stuff that needs attention. Like I said, technology is a big one, and hopefully we can get where we need to be. It's just, you know, figuring out which fire needs to be put out first.